Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you tuned in. Today, we're going to start a two-part series called The Church and State, and I think you're going to find it quite interesting. This is something that affects us all, and there's some nuances here that I think are really important. So let's just dive right in to the church and the state. Have you ever wondered why our world is so distrustful of politics and religions? I mean, if you go to a dinner party, those are the two subjects that you absolutely do not want to take on. I think it's because the disease of otherness. You've heard me say that term a lot. I use it a lot because it's so central to almost every problem that's in our universe. It's the disease of otherness. And it has created so much division in our world. And ironically, the entities that are supposed to be separated, namely the church and the state, have never been more alike, more similar. Now, can I suggest that the divisions in our world, they don't lie between the political parties? You know, it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. It's not a believer-unbeliever thing. It's not a religious-non-religious thing. You see, we're divided because we have taken sides as to which entity should govern us, not really realizing that the limitations of both of those entities, here I am with my tang all tangled, we don't realize that there are limitations of both of those entities, okay? The powers of church and state exist primarily for themselves. I know that's not a surprise, but it doesn't mean that they don't do some good for people. They do. They have services and programs and things like that, and they exist in some regard for others, the sake of society. But let's not forget and overlook the most obvious fact is that they are not there for us. They're there first and foremost for themselves. They are surrogates as such for true community. Do you get that? Do you see that true community, if it were all over the world, if everybody experienced true community, government would need to be very, very minimal at the most, if at all. So government and the systems of power exist for themselves, and they are surrogates for true community. I think that's the core thing that I'm starting with here. And it's important because true diversity and unity can coexist in perfect harmony. And they do so when you have true community. But in our society, we think of diversity and unity as being opposites. In fact, we try and eliminate diversity to make everybody more alike, and therefore find unity by default. You see, both of the systems of church and state, they legislate unity. They legislate unity as if diversity is addressed from the outside in rather than the inside out. Both church and state enlist people to serve the machine. And in exchange, they give people an existence, but not a life. And this podcast, if you're tuning into it, it's probably because you're the type of person that can see the difference. You know that you want a life and not just an existence. And since most people don't know that difference, most don't really know freedom. And they are willing to trade their life, their true life, for the one that's provided by the system, that surface life, that existence. The church and state are always telling us a story. They are perpetually weaving a tale to enlist people into serving the needs of the organization. People are the energy source that powers them. This is not unlike that movie, The Matrix, where the people are just these battery packs for the system. The world is a feeder pond for such institutions. Now, that might sound a bit cynical, maybe even a bit conspiracy theory, but maybe you like the story that you're being told. Maybe the story gives you a benefit. Maybe you like the life that you have because of the system. You like that surrogate life. Now, this isn't to say that all organizations are bad. They are necessary. They're even beneficial. But they are given way too much power. And the irony here is that everybody in our world, especially in our political environment right now, seems to be saying, and they seem to agree that the government's too powerful. You know, that systems like the church and others are too powerful. Yet they seem to forget that the power comes from individuals who actually abdicate responsibility to them. So some people can see through this propaganda, while others drink the Kool-Aid and believe the fear campaigns of church and state. We don't all see it at the same time. It's not that some are smart and others are stupid. I mean, when you tune into some of the political rhetoric, you turn into Fox News and you hear them saying that the Democrats are stupid. You turn into, CNBC and, they're saying the Republicans are stupid. It's not about being smart or stupid. This is about proximity, not ability. It's about when, not what. So our divisions in our country, they reflect the fact that we don't all get things at the same time or at the same rate. We are all in various phases of the process. You see, our presidential election and this whole presidential election process is a perfect example. Our country is as divided as it has ever been. The candidates get more extreme every single year. I mean, the shift to the polls says more about the marketing machine that profits from the fear and the scandal and the strife. You see, whenever we talk about those people, church and state prosper. It's those people, them, the ones that are ruining it for all of us, right? Those, it's so easy to see those people. This is all the disease of otherness. And it pays the bills because headlines are grabbed. Pundits get to ramble on. Their talking heads go and go and go. Articles are written and books are written and people get all jazzed up and energized and angry and frustrated and they tune in and they can't turn it off, right? That's how they keep people feeding the machine. The people just jump on board because of the story, right? I mean, nobody really takes Trump that seriously until all of a sudden they believe, well, everybody must be taking Trump seriously, and then all of a sudden he's a serious thing. It's the same for like Hillary. Come on, people. And the sad thing is that most of us just jump on board and follow suit, kind of herd mentality, simply because we don't have options. Right? And we assume that the stories are true because the church and state are telling the stories to us and they're big, reliable information sources, right? So would you rather jump or drive off the cliff? That's usually the choice. Elections are not about who's the best for our country or which candidate has the solutions that we really want or that the most people really want. No, the candidates arise because these are the candidates that sell the most marketing dollars. These are the candidates that support the corporate agendas who have their marketing dollars at stake. These are the candidates that spin the machine because they're products of the machine. They're not representatives of our people like we think they are. And I know that sounds kind of negative or cynical, but let's just face the facts. Would you rather jump or drive off the cliff? Our choices in elections are, would you rather step in this pile of dog poo or this pile of dog poo? It's not that most people really want a Hillary or really want a Donald Trump. It's that they don't have any other options. And the institutions that should be eradicating otherness are the biggest promoters of otherness. Now, Listen to this. I thought this up. I've never seen this idea before, so I'll take some credit for it. But I'm sure others have thought about it. But I think the politics solution is really easy. This is it. All you have to do is go and change your voter registration card to independent. You don't even have to change your preference for blue or red. You see, the power of the state will be the first to warn you that, oh no, you will not be eligible to vote in your primary election. And that's what it said as soon as I switched to independent. Why? Why would the state threaten that? Well, they don't want you to be independent. They want you to align, to pick a side, pick a team, and be on the team. Because they know if you pick a team, you'll vote more likely for that team. If you vote independent, then you use more of your creative mind and your ability to discern. Trust me, it's going to happen. Now, for some people, that little threat of losing that is enough to create fear that it will keep them from, you know, signing that card as independent. Oh, well, I don't want to lose my right to vote in the primary, right? Now, this will be true for people who have never, ever voted in a primary, and they'll still stay for that one reason. The primaries are not that helpful. All they do is pick the candidate. Well, who's going to pick the Republican? If you signed a card for Republican, which candidate are you going to pick? Are you going to pick Hillary in the primaries? No, you can't. You can only pick one of the Republican choices. There's no option. See, you have no option. It's crazy. It's a prison, but it's made out of a threat. It's like a spider web keeping you in. It's nothing. It's all inside your head. Church and state have power based upon otherness. As long as they can create this binary system of otherness, then they have fuel to run their machine. If the voter registration demonstrated that the masses have moved from the polls into the center, all the power of the storytelling machine would lose its sting because it would no longer be seen as the voice of the people, but it would be exposed for what it is and what it's always been, which is the voice of the extreme elite. If the marketing machines want to survive, they would have to shift towards the center in order to maintain their feeders. And behold, they would produce more centered politicians because that's what would support them. Unity only comes from diversity when we lay down our arms. Maturity shows us that both sides are always partially right. And if we diminish the power of otherness, we can heal our political system. In no time, we would have a three-party primary instead of a binary dualism. Of course, you and I know this is not likely to happen, right? I mean, most people can't disassociate their own political affiliation to find political freedom. In order to do this, we have to die to that little identity that comes from our voter affiliation. We index ourselves by what we oppose and what we support. You know, to give up a political party is to die to a part of our externally fabricated identity. And who tells us who we are? For the most part, it's church and state. Both are in the identity business. Independence means we must forgo the support of the mothership. It hurts to die to the false external self, but one tiny death begets another tiny death. Next, we dissolve our loyalty to the news channels, our talking heads, our commentators, and the storytellers. At some point, when you let go of one team, you realize that both teams are spinning it. Both teams have a story that's important to hear, and both teams have a story that is junk. The last death is the story itself, the story of otherness. See, distance from the system sobers us up. When you're in proximity, you are inoculated, you're anesthetized. You're on a feeder drip that keeps you numb. Freedom emerges in direct proportion to the disillusion of otherness. I've given an example of how this can happen politically from the side of the state with the voting registration card. But next week, I'm going to give you an example of what this looks like from the side of the church. I hope you can see that we don't live in a hopeless world. Each of us has the power to unite and reclaim the power that we have abdicated to the machines. Church and state play a vital role in our society, and the goal is never their removal. The goal is their redemption. It starts with a new story, a story that unites us instead of divides us. A story that could do that, that would most certainly be a story we would call good news. And it turns out that we each possess it if we're courageous enough to believe it. Now, if you have the courage, change your voter registration to independent and see what happens. Be a part of a changing trend. And then watch what bubbles to the surface of your thinking. Pay attention to the little deaths that transpire. They are the death of the external self and the birth of your true self. A self that is defined not by a system, but by your maker. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.